Well, this morning we have a guest joining us by phone. Beth Olson is with us. Beth is the Director of Public Health here in Cass County. Good morning, Beth. How are you?
Hi, just fine. How are you today?
Well, good. It sounds like you're getting busy there at Public Health again, and not in a good way.
Yes, that's a true statement.
Can we talk a little bit about the what we've seen here in numbers? We've actually been, and we're probably still in much better shape than a lot of other counties, even close to us, and certainly those in the larger metro areas around the state. But we've seen more cases here lately. The percentage increase has been a little bit more dramatic here lately. The circumstances have changed for us.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, you know, we're still, you know, better off, if that's the word we want to use, than a lot of counties surrounding us. But certainly it's definitely hit home now that we certainly have COVID widespread. You know, in Cass County, and especially over the weekend, we saw a number of cases come through, and, you know, and largely a result of, you know, people feeling just a little bit ill and, you know, not staying home. And that's, you know, been our message all along. If you feel sick, even just a little bit, stay home. And, you know, it can spread pretty quickly when you're in those situations and you're not feeling well. And that's certainly what we've seen here as of recently.
With the uptick in positive test results here locally, are there common denominators? Are there things that are alike with some of these?
Yeah, you know, we're just seeing, you know, groups of individuals spending time together, and of course after that then they take that home to their families too. So I suspect that we would continue to see numbers increase from this little, like you said, outbreak for the next couple days, and even maybe even more couple weeks, because we know that, you know, 2 to 14 days after your last exposure, that's the incubation period if you were going to develop coronavirus from that exposure. So I think that we could see an uptick for, you know, the next couple weeks here from these cases that have popped up over the weekend.
Beth, can you talk a little bit about the contact tracing that goes on with this?
Yes, I can, and I can tell you that's what my staff and I have been doing nonstop since, you know, for about the past 3 or 4 days now. So when we find out about a positive case, and, you know, this, like I've said before, not just with coronavirus, but we do this with E. coli and Salmonella and any communicable or infectious disease to try and pinpoint where it came from. And so when we talk about contact tracing for coronavirus, we ask the individual, you know, where they've been, you know, when symptoms started, and we look a certain period of time before symptoms started and before they got tested to identify who was a close contact while they were infectious. And anybody who is identified as a close contact, we make a touch point with them to explain what, you know, staying home for the next 2 weeks looks like. You know, it's not just staying home and hanging out with your family. That means I want you isolated into a room by yourself. I don't want you eating dinner with the family. Once you use the restroom, I want you to disinfect your way out of it and back to your bedroom. I want you to wear a mask in your own home. And so we talk with each of those individuals on the list, and we work with different entities if we need to call an employer or, you know, another facility and say who was in close contact with these individuals. And we try and get everyone called in a timely manner, just because we know that can help stop the spread of this if people are aware they've been exposed and they're taking the proper precautions as well.
Beth, I'll eat, like, say, 3 meals a day. But now tomorrow I probably couldn't tell you what 2 of those 3 meals were from the day before. So I guess my point is contact tracing is a difficult thing, because when you're asking people how many folks have you been in contact with over the last few days, I'm trying to think, how am I going to remember that?
It is particularly difficult. And, you know, I think we have to remember that, you know, contact tracing, it's never going to be perfect, because, you know, we identify that as within 6 feet for longer than 15 minutes. And so, you know, if I walked by you and I coughed into the air and then, you know, you walked right past me as I did that, I could still, of course, give you coronavirus. But you wouldn't be my contact, because I just passed you in the grocery store when I did that. So I think it's important for us to remember that contact tracing is a piece of this, but there's still other things that we can do to protect ourselves. You know, social distancing is huge, and if you can't social distance, you should wear a mask. We should do extra good hand hygiene, you know, extra disinfecting of frequently touched surfaces, even in our own home. You know, just those general things that we can do to help protect us and those around us.
It seems like some of the cases, from looking at the dashboard numbers and things there, it seems like a lot of the cases that have been coming up here locally have been youngsters in their teens and people in the 18 to 40 age group, thereabouts. So it's younger people right now that seem largely to be moving this around the community. Is that accurate?
Right. And like you said, you can see all of that age breakdown on the coronavirus.iowa.gov map. And if you select Cass County, you can see that the overwhelming majority of that is, you know, our younger population. You know, our younger population's been together a lot, you know, for celebrations. Sports are starting back up. We're gearing back up for the school year. You know, this really shouldn't come out as a shock to us as we've kind of eased up as a community and let our kids get back together. We're going to see this, and it's, you know, the time's now to take appropriate steps in getting control of this before school's open for the year.
Well, and a lot of students that are moving away to go to college for the first time, Iowa State, for example, last week had a number of students move into the dorms, and they all had to be tested for COVID first, probably for the first time, and they found, I believe, 66 students that were going to move in had COVID, so they had to, tested positive, so they had to quarantine or isolate in some form or fashion. So, you know, we're seeing more testing among that age group, too. Is that accurate?
Right. And before, you know, these kids probably weren't necessarily getting tested. I think it was easy to, you know, chalk up, oh, it's just a runny nose. I always get runny nose this time of year. You know, I have allergies. And so now I think, you know, that's an excellent point that some universities are requiring testing before kids show up. And whereas before, this probably wasn't the age group that we were testing heavily before. It was more of our older adults that we were concerned about and testing. But you know, kudos to those universities that are trying to get ahead of that on their campuses. I think that's really important. And, you know, look at the cases that they've stopped that otherwise could easily duplicate in a close living quarters situation like you have in college.
I've been visiting with a number of school superintendents recently about their back-to-school plans here this fall, and they all seem to have multiple plans because you have to be fluid in this type of situation. But I had one superintendent mention to me specifically that he said, you know, here in another month or two, when we get to that time of the year, we're going to be dealing with, you know, sometimes kids just get sick, not don't really have anything. They just get sick. They get a little bug or something,
right.
Or they might get the common cold. They might have some type of flu-like symptoms and things, or, you know, they may have to have, maybe they have come down with some sort of a COVID type symptom. I mean, all the symptoms are kind of the same. It's going to get confusing and it's going to be difficult to move forward.
Right. And you're absolutely right. And I think, you know, as parents, and I have young ones too, and you want to say, oh, well, they're probably just, you know, got something, you know, when they went to the playground or the park or, you know, whatever it might be. But, you know, I think we as parents need to, you know, think twice about those symptoms right now. And, you know, you're encouraged to go see your healthcare provider if you think your child's been exposed to something, or if you think, well, they have a new cough or they have new congestion that wasn't there before. I think it's really better to be safe than sorry right now. You know, it doesn't hurt. And in a lot of those return to learn plans, I think the schools have spelled out when you need to go see a healthcare provider and be evaluated, or when it's okay and safe to return to school otherwise. So we've been given some pretty, you know, clear parameters for what the school needs to be doing with kids that come down with certain symptoms and, you know, the percentage of sick students in the building and what that needs to look like going into the school year. So more will evolve as we learn more about, you know, cases in the county and what going back to school looks like. But my message to parents is, you know, I'd rather you be safe than sorry. Get them evaluated by a healthcare provider. Keep them home if you have any hesitation. It's just the right thing to do right now.
Well, and I guess the part of the beauty of this is that the some of the methods that we can use to ward off some of these things are the same for the cold and the flu, COVID, anything else. It's the same stuff. It's personal hygiene.
Right. Exactly. And that's, I can't stress that enough. If you wash your hands, if you're by a sink, if you're not, carry hand sanitizer with you. Get used to wearing a mask. You know, it protects you. It protects others. It's a very easy thing that we can do to slow the spread here in the community. Wear it when you're in public spaces and you can't distance from other people. And, you know, try and keep that 6-foot space. And, you know, I'd encourage people to really think twice about how close, if you're going to have gatherings, can you do them outdoors? Can you do them spaced out? Now we are seeing higher spread in our county, and it's maybe a good time to reconsider, some of those family and group gatherings that we've been having lately. You just never know if somebody that's attending is positive or if they maybe just aren't showing symptoms yet, but they're still infectious. So we just have to be extra diligent and take extra precautions right now.
Right, right. And I'll be honest, I'm one who doesn't like the idea of a mask either. Not a lot of folks do when you get right down to it, but this isn't forever.
Yes, correct. It's not forever. I don't enjoy wearing one either, but it's a pretty easy thing that I think I can do to show respect for others and, you know, that I care about their health, and heaven forbid that I be carrying something and, you know, I pass it on to them. I wouldn't want that. So it's really just a good thing to do right now.
Yep. Work through all the precautions that we can, and hopefully we'll see this go by the wayside in a few months. It'll hopefully just be a story we tell, and we're moving forward from there. So
that's right.
Oh, very good. Right. Well, we want to keep not just those young people safe, but the more vulnerable population locally as well. There's probably a lot of truth to that. We haven't seen a lot of deaths in children. There have been some, but it seems like they bounce back a lot quicker, like they do with a lot of things. But they can also pass it on to those who are more susceptible to bad symptoms.
Exactly.
Very good. All right. Well, Beth, thank you so much. Appreciate it. We'll keep in touch.
Sure.